Let's get the living legend John Gray on here.
John Gray, he is a living legend. I got a great John Gray story to tell you. Should I tell it now? Because he's
Yeah,
amazing.
tell it now.
So and he's well, I'll wait and we'll get to it. So because there's so many good things, but he's had a great impact on my wife and I. Just a real good person.
Oh, beautiful.
My wife's a big fan of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Did you know that, Craig?
I do now. What does she love about it?
Oh, it just loves him, loved the book, especially the impact and the understanding of intimacy and the differences bioanatomically and biogenetically, and how we give different meanings with female and men energy. So I'm a member of the Transformational Leadership Council with John. There he is, the legend.
Hey guys.
Goodness. I was
Hey
just
John.
telling this story of the first time that we met, Blaine Bartlett and Cynthia Kersey. Craig, I'm the unstoppable chair, and they said, "You got to meet our friend John." And I was like, "Oh, I would love to meet your friend John." And Blaine and Cynthia didn't tell me it was John Gray. So I asked my wife, I said, "Would you like to go to dinner with Cynthia and Blaine?" And they're bringing their friend John. And so we have dinner with John, and he's so humble. We never really talk about too much about what he's doing or has done. And my wife and I leave dinner, and she says, "I love Cynthia and Blaine. They bring the nicest people into our lives. This man was so wonderful and intelligent and blah." And I said, "Julie, you know who that was, don't you?" And she's like, "Yeah, well, that was John." I said, "That's John Gray, who wrote your favorite book." And she goes, hits me. She hits me. She goes, "I can't believe it. I can't believe I didn't get to talk to him." I said, "Oh, it was one of the best things that we've ever done." And so she says, "Hello, John, and hopes all is well."
Well, tell her hello from me. It was a pleasure connecting with you again.
Yes.
Sean, it's great to have you on. Every time we get together, it's so profound. Love you. I think that something that gets overlooked about your work is just how brilliant you are when it comes to talking about tapping into a higher consciousness and all of that stuff. But maybe I'll put that on the back burner for just a moment because I have an icebreaker for you. Nobody better in the world to ask than you right now. John, what do women really want?
Well, Freud said you don't know, but I've written all I've done is written books on that over and over. They want connection. This is the most the recent science is that when men are listening to a woman, and if you're trying to think about how to solve the problem, your mirror cells, mirror neurons in the brain will turn off. And therefore, you're unable to feel empathy. See, empathy is something that you can only feel if your mirror cells open up. This is measurable in the brain. And men's mirror cells are different from women's, in that if we experience any type of problem, that produces a little adrenaline. So you're listening to your wife, and she's going on, you're trying to figure out, okay, what does she want from me? How am I supposed to respond? If you're doing that while she's talking, they've measured your mirror cells, the ability to feel compassion for somebody, literally closed down. And if what she's talking about is in any way blaming you, your mirror cells will turn off. Or maybe she's not blaming you about some problem. We need to talk about the relationship, say. You're gonna go, okay, what did I do wrong? What am I expected to do? Anything like that will produce a little adrenaline, which is called low stress, not high stress, not cortisol, low stress. Your mirror cells will literally close down. Now, women don't have this experience. If they're stressed, their mirror cells open up more. So, when I talk about in all my books, what women want often, not when they're just having a discussion with you, but if it's emotionally charged or she's upset about something, the books all say now, don't give her solutions. Women don't want solutions. They often want to just be heard. Now that's confusing to men because sometimes they want solutions. But if she's having an emotional conversation, and that's what women need most, is to feel an emotional connection. When, think of it like your sex drive. Like when you want to have sex, you really want to connect. That's when your mirror cells open up. So just we have to have some empathy for women, which is that when our mirror cells open up, we're wanting sex. When their mirror cells open up really wide, they're wanting to connect. And when, in order to connect, they think they need you to talk about what you're feeling. No. What they need to do is talk about what they're feeling. Yes. And if she can talk about what she's feeling and she doesn't expect you to talk afterwards about what you feel, what you think, and so forth, then you can stay calm as a man. But for your mirror cells to open up, you can't be thinking, how can I solve her problem? What should I say? So if women can let go of the idea that after they talk, we're supposed to say something, like active listening. Now, active listening is something therapists teach it. However, John Gottman, who has very popular research where he scientifically studies couples, he pointed out that active listening doesn't work at home. All of us therapists do it in the office. You can do it in the workplace. You know, what I hear you saying is this and this and this. You're planning what you're going to do. You're planning a solution. It doesn't work at home. And the reason it doesn't work at home or with your friends, you don't do that because we're connected emotionally. And if you start planning how you're going to respond to her afterwards, you will disconnect and she'll feel that disconnection. And so she doesn't get what she really wants, which is what you just asked me. Interesting. I'm writing a book now on this whole subject because the research is new. And it just verifies the whole idea where women would intuitively say is, I just want to talk to you. I don't need to fix it or solve it. And of course, in our mind, we're thinking how to fix it and solve it. And we're preparing ourselves to sort of make a comment at the end, because often women will expect that comment at the end. And I suggest that that first women understand that now, once you finish talking, don't expect him to talk, because if he's expected to talk, he's going to be thinking about solutions. Now, this is so opposite what everybody does, which is why women often feel disconnected from their partner. If she wants to talk about her feelings, and you want him to hear your feelings most easily and keep his receptor site, his mirror cells open, every day or every few days, check in with your husband and say, I just want to talk for 10 minutes and I'm going to talk about my feelings about something other than you. Because if her feelings are about the relationship, like, I don't feel that you were there for me, or you forgot to call me, or I want you to know how it feels when you don't do this or don't do that. Anytime she does that, your mirror cells will close down. But if she's talking about other things in her life that are bothering her, and there's always things, stress going on, if she needs to talk about her feelings, it's because she's feeling stress in some way. And if she can talk about that, then you can easily listen to her. If she just says, I don't need you to fix it or solve it, and just give her your presence. And so that's the big word over the last 10 years. You know, what women want is your presence. Well, what your presence means as a man is just listen to her, what she's feeling, and her mirror cells are open as well. So she's going to connect with your feelings, and your feelings are what she's feeling because you're connecting with her mirror cells. And that's how she gets greater self-awareness. It's literally like, you Beautiful. Know, in meditation, the whole idea is you're supposed to become aware of your awareness, okay? That's the whole idea of enlightenment. And this sharing of feelings is kind of an enlightenment experience, practically speaking. It just means she feels fully heard and seen. It's like she's looking into the mirror of your listening to see herself. And in seeing herself, she can more deeply go into her feelings. And her brain, when she gets that reflection of looking into a mirror, her brain can be more objective and let go of any irrational aspect of what she's thinking, which is causing her to feel upset.
John, of course, just described 27 years of marriage for me, and my wife walked in while we were on. She says hi again. But I just have one quick question, pragmatic question, because this occurred last night. I've utilized different strategies to understand the mirroring principle and some other things that work and don't work for me. I try to stay quiet and I know not to say anything. And I say, and then she gets mad because I don't say anything. and then I stay quiet still. And I just say, you know, to her that, oh, I appreciate that. How can I be of service? What can I do to help? I don't come up with a solution. And if I do talk, then it just, for some reason, creates more resistance and accelerates the emotional chemicals, those low, not cortisol, whatever's happening. And I have nowhere to go because I feel like I can't say anything. And if I don't say anything, I accelerate it too. Is there something I could say, or what should I do when she wants me to say something?
See, that's the exact thing which I'm talking about. Women have to understand that men bond through silence. Silence is a great thing. Think about, you know, going fishing with another guy. I remember as a boy going fishing with my father, and we didn't talk at all. It was like a spiritual experience. The whole idea in Buddhism is to silence the mind. It's a very powerful way to silence. But if women don't understand how men are different, they think if you don't say something, that you might be angry with them, or you're holding back, or you're not trusting them. Because when they won't talk, that's the reason. When a woman doesn't talk, it's because, you know, I'm mad at you, I don't trust you, you don't feel safe to me. And so if we don't talk and they don't understand that we are very different, that's why this knowledge is so, so key, is that really what women have been saying is what we actually have to do, but they have to learn to support us in not talking. I don't need you to solve the problem, I just need you to hear me. And ironically, it's very hard for women to actually feel connected. And what if while she's talking, you're over here going, oh my God, what am I supposed to say when she's done? Last time, I can't win. What kind of thing am I gonna do? And what I suggest for women, and again, this is all for women to understand men better. Otherwise, there's nothing you can do. She's expecting you to be a girlfriend. Because when two women talk, they're both, their mirror neurons open up wide, and they get a different effect. They show in the brain, if a man is listening to a woman and he doesn't have any intention to solve her problem other than providing for her a sense of presence, that he's connecting to her. If he's able to do that, a different part of his brain lights up while he's listening. They can actually measure a man not saying anything, listening to a woman talk about problems. He mirrors the limbic system, which is what women only do. They primarily just mirror in the middle part of their brain where I'm reflecting back, I'm feeling what you feel, okay, and from her own life, because she relates so much to what the woman is saying. So much of the things women are upset about, we don't get upset about, so we don't necessarily relate to it. We relate a little bit. So they'll see the man's brain lights up in the limbic system, but also he lights up in the prefrontal cortex. And if a woman was to share her feelings and then feel better afterwards, it's because then her prefrontal cortex lights up. But when a man listens, her prefrontal cortex will light up more because his prefrontal cortex is lighting up, which basically means simply what women say is if they can talk about their feelings, they can sort it out and make sense of it. And if you do that with a man or a woman who's being very objective and doesn't have anything going on inside of her, then you can get that same benefit. But typically when two women share, they sort of amplify, oh yeah, I felt the same thing, and I remember so-and-so did this, and they go back and forth. And that has a unique value that men can't provide, which is that raises her estrogen levels. And when women, often one of the primary reasons they talk is to raise their estrogen levels, because when you feel heard, if you're sharing and somebody listens to you, your estrogen levels go up. And science now shows us, this is stuff people don't put it all together, science shows us that when your estrogen levels go up and you're a woman, your stress goes down. Men are designed, if you're just listening, your estrogen levels go down. It's when a man's estrogen goes too high, he will experience increasing stress. For men, it's testosterone that lowers his stress, calms his brain. And when he's producing testosterone, it's because he's solving a problem. So listening to a woman, if you're solving a problem, you feel, you know, you've got the solution ready. It's like ready to pull your gun out. You know, okay, honey, this is what you should do. You'll feel good. You're going to feel good because your testosterone goes up. But then she doesn't feel good. So the idea is to understand as a man and for her to understand, because you're trying to give her what she wants. I just need you to just listen. You don't have to say anything. Then you feel as a man, I'm solving her problem by not saying anything, turning on my mirror neurons and hearing her. Then she can hear herself through me as a mirror, not just in her emotional part of the brain, but also in the prefrontal cortex. So this is amazing science. So to be on the same page, when you're listening, you have to have some basic phrases to say when you're done that you don't have to think about. It can just be, you know, one of my favorite ones is, I understand you're so frustrated. Let me give you a hug. I love you. That's it. That's the reassurance.
Acknowledge and validate.
Acknowledge and validate. I know you're frustrated. So you've got, I know that's so disappointing. You do so much, or you expected so much. I love you. And go for a hug. That's the idea. That's the action. It's the words. Keep them short. And they're sincere because her mirror neurons will be wide open. She'll feel the connection. See, yeah. if you're doing active listening in the workplace, you're not really connecting on a deep emotional level with that person. It's objective. It's information. It's reflecting back clarity. But what women are looking for, which was your first question, which is amazing, it's just what I'm writing about in my new book, is they're looking for that emotional intimacy that they experienced with you. And for wives, it's most important, because when women have sex with a man, they bond very deeply. There's a connection. So anytime you're disconnected from your feelings, just that connection of feeling connected with her, having your mirror cells open is what's going on. Way she notices that disconnection instantly. And what she can also learn is anytime she's having a conversation, I was just having a conversation with my daughter, Lauren, and she was going on about something, and it triggered a thought in my mind. And I went there and I started thinking about, okay, what does she mean by that? And actually I was probably thinking, how does this apply in my book? So I went away from her and to something else, which is what men do. And she was so smart. She immediately felt it. Because she feels, you know, women are really tuned in to feeling that connection. They need that, feel that connection. It's the most important thing to lower their stress levels, to give them comfort and ease, is connection produces estrogen. We don't, you know, notice it so much. We don't care so much about it because estrogen is not a significant hormone to lower our stress levels. Feeling acknowledged and appreciated. It's anticipating that I will be appreciated. And it's validating our ability, validating our success. You know, as soon as a woman says, oh, we need to talk, men's stress levels often go off the charts because there's always this experience that you just had, which is, you know, it turns into a chemical reactions of not of arguing or not comfortable, or you don't know what to do with it. And she doesn't know what to do with it either. Once you are triggered, we call that being triggered. And so many times it doesn't have to happen. It would be maybe you're feeling a little grumpy about something, a little irritated, a little annoyed, upset, bothered. That's called moderate stress. When women are in moderate stress, they need to talk. When men are under moderate stress, they don't need to talk. It's very important that he doesn't talk. Now, this is like, you know, it used to be women were attracted to the quiet, silent man, you know, who got his job done, never complained, never expressed whiny feelings or grumpy feelings or angry feelings. But because of psychology, modern psychology today, it's like we're all supposed to talk about our feelings as if that is like the, you know, the alchemical process of transformation, alchemy. For women, it is. And in therapy, who comes to therapy the most? It's 90% women. So we've learned in psychology that if we can get people to talk, they'll always feel better. There is a place where you can talk and feel better as a man. Is that's within yourself. That's in a journal. That's with another man. That's with somebody whose well-being is not dependent on you. You see, a wife's well-being is dependent on you, emotional support, financial support. So if she's upset, like I'm worried about money, I don't worry about it because I have this strong sense of independence. I provide most of the money anyway. I'm not dependent on her. But if I'm like shaking, oh my God, I really have no idea I'm going to pay these bills. You know, my bank account's going down. And I share that with her, she's going to freak out. Okay, this is major stress for her. And it's not that I can't talk about that at some point, but I have to talk about it and share with her in a balanced way where I'm not feeling anxious or afraid or stressed, because my stress will amplify hers. It's very important. You know, so I'll say, you know, I'm having a challenge over here, but it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I figured out I'm going to do this. If there's something upsetting you, you have to come back and give her the logic and reason why it's upsetting, why it's a challenge, but it's not upsetting you. And why? How do you know? How do you get to the place where you can communicate in the tone of voice, which conveys to her that you're not upset about it, is you take time to process it. And there's so many ways for men to process stress without talking to their wives. You can have a coach. You can have a prayer to God. You can write it in a journal. You can go to the gym. This is a very key thing, is that for men, these emotions, emotional turmoil, as long as it's not chronic cortisol, just going to a gym or doing push-ups or going for a jog or getting into your cold plunge, any sort of extreme type of muscle activity or contraction that goes on with your muscles, that will actually use up your adrenaline and turn it back into healthy dopamine. So you're not stressed at all. This does not work for
there's
women.
There's a lot there.
For women, it's about... Yeah, it's amazing. So
first of all, this is amazing, John. I could talk to you all day, but there's so much there to unpack. I know we're coming towards the end now. Dave, is there something about what he just shared that really resonates with you, or anything that you wanted to share?
Just how much I miss John Gray. And I think one of the things with social media that's so disappointing is that great people is, you know, why I'm to is that there's so much similar information that we're losing from the experience and the expertise of people like John Gray. These are remarkable solutions to real big life problems that affect and impact every man and woman. Whether you're married or not, we have relationships with men and women, even as fathers and daughters. So what comes to mind and what's coming through me is just to encourage our community. You know, there's a lot of people like John Gray. And if he's writing a new book, you got to buy it. Go back and read his old. I read Think and Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I read Kiyosaki. I read Lecter. I read Bob Proctor. I read Wayne Dyer. And because they weren't there to create these social media silos, we have to. It's a responsibility to carry on these great words of wisdom and build upon these great words of wisdom and expertise. And John, we'll have many other shows where we'll be reaching out to you. The world needs more of you. Congratulations on the new book, and we'll be promoting John Gray and all of his books. He will change your life, impact you in an exponential way. It's so nice to see you again, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. Good to see you both.